On behalf of all of us at the Center, it is my pleasure this year to present the 2012 Vision to Action Award to Lee and Bob Woodruff, and I hope that you will join me in welcoming Lee to the podium.
Thank you. Please sit down. As John said, I didn't do anything yet. It's everybody who has helped to donate that did something. And thank you for that incredible honor, the donation and the Vision to Action donation. That means so much. I was here 4 years ago, and unfortunately I am remembered for a line that had to do with a bucket of ice that was stuck in my crotch at this podium. So those of you that were here 4 years ago, if you weren't, you ask someone at your table, because it comes up every single time I come here. And John, I think that if your board members were truly underwhelmed by that speech, then we might need to get them all copies of that Shades of Grey erotica novel, because I think that was an incredible speech, and thank you. Yeah. You had our table choked up, and I think the essence of your personal story and the essence of telling stories and the essence of being up here and telling the stories and the stories that are in Ira's book, which I'm so excited to read, are what connects us all as human beings. And the other incredible and unavoidable thing that connects us, and it was so eloquently put today at lunch by Ira, is that we are all going to leave this world. We are all going to meet an end, and that is certain. And how we do it, we're not sure. But one of the amazing things that the Center is doing, and why I'm so passionate about this, is because they're starting or continuing or forwarding the conversation, which for some people seems to be so hard to conduct. And yet it's such a practical, to use that word, application of just the next phase for all of us in life. When Bob was injured, there were so many things about that experience that are still surreal. And I look back and think, was I really that person? And did this happen to our family? And he's had such a really miraculous recovery. He absolutely has deficits. And if he could be here tonight, he would tell you them, because he's very, very honest about what a brain injury looks like. And yet he just returned 2 nights ago from North Korea, where he was covering that fabulous missile launch that, in fact, I don't know how much you followed it, but they invited these reporters, I think it was his third or fourth time there, because I think they weren't sure how the technology was going to go. They put all of the reporters on a bus with no bathroom and drove them around for 6 hours just to make sure that they couldn't record it. So Bob actually found out the missile had failed from the bureau in New York, who got it from the Pentagon. But the fact that he's able to travel and to be there is really the miracle of his recovery, which is due to so many factors that would take me way too long to go into. But I will never forget sitting at the table in Bethesda Naval Hospital with a ring of white coats around me, all telling me what he wouldn't and shouldn't and couldn't going to be able to do, and Bob's family and his brothers and some of my family. And as they read me all of the risks for surgery and all of the things that I had to know about anesthesia, they pushed this piece of paper across the table to me and asked me to sign. And I kind of looked at his mother and kind of said, well, she's his mother. And they all sort of looked at me and said, no, you've been married to him for 18 years. And I realized that everything about the decisions that I was going to make for a loved one rested on me. And I was 40 whatever years old. And I thought, this isn't supposed to happen now. And my second thought was, thank God Bob and I have had those conversations. I know exactly what his wishes would be in this case. Don't prolong me. Don't take any extreme measures. We had advanced directives. I think they were from Staples, but as Myra's daughter has pointed out, you do not need a lawyer to make these decisions and to start this conversation. It's sitting right at your chair. And so do yourselves and your loved ones a favor, and don't put the guesswork in it. I was relaying it at lunch. Ira is a tough act to follow, by the way, so I'm really glad I'm going first, and I'm almost done. But I was relaying the story of how my in-laws are completely unable to talk about the fact that they will leave this world. And so their four boys say, Mom, Dad, how about choosing a nursing home? How about giving us an idea if you want to go to Sleepy Hollow or Running Falls or whatever? And they won't even engage on that level. And that is so painful for my husband to realize that his parents are going to leave this entire decision to him. My last point in tying it back to the video and into what we do being a voice for veterans, because we are fortunate enough to be in a position to be one of those miracles, truly, truly miracles, with a man who absolutely should not be alive. And failing that, as one of his critical care nurses said to me recently at the American Association of Operating Room Nurses convention where Bob and I spoke, she said, as the neurosurgeon was cutting 16 centimeters of his skull off over the table, he muttered to us, this man is never going to be able to speak again, as he looked at the rock that had gone through one side of Bob's neck and come to rest on the carotid artery on the other. Miracles happen. Hope happens. There is dignity in the end of life. And when I tie it back to our vets, it's the story I told earlier today, which is that our young men and women, and where Myra and I so connected after this amazing experience here 4 years ago, was that she sent all of the center's work to me, and we in turn passed it on to folks who had already incorporated into the military situation, but starting the conversation before a 22-year-old or 24-year-old or a 19-year-old deploys, to get that person thinking about the unthinkable, someone who is absolutely impervious to death. Remember that age. Remember how bulletproof we all thought we were. And yet these young people who are standing up to serve are walking into the crucible of a war that is completely asymmetrical now, with IEDs and bombs strapped to 9-year-old children, and knowing that death is a possibility in a way that the 19-year-old who is driving around and going to the mall today doesn't think about it. And so to be able to have that conversation in a concise form and to bring it up and to not make it a dirty word is why we're here tonight and why I am so honored to accept this award from the center. So thank you to all of you. Thank you.